Lord, bless the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts, for you are our rock and our redeemer. Amen. Amen. Over this weekend, I saw the film 1917, the war movie which won Best Director and Best Picture in this year's Golden Globes. The movie is about a British soldier who's given an impossible mission in World War I. He's told he must deliver a message deep behind the enemy line. And if he succeeds, he will stop 1,600 men, including his brother, from walking straight into a deadly ambush. The film is compelling. The narrative is intense, and it's based on a true story about the director's grandfather. But the film is also compelling because of the way the film was shot. The director, Sam Mendes, filmed the story to look like one continuous shot. So for an hour and 59 minutes, we, the audience, share in the same breathless run, the same dangers, as the soldier who undertakes the impossible mission. For an hour and 59 minutes, we are caught up in the same intense hope, the same terrifying gore. There's no relief. Courage becomes another word for endurance. As we celebrate the Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. this weekend, I find myself thinking of him as if he lived his life in one relentless, breathless run, determined to save his brothers and sisters. He was saving them from the belittlement and terror of American racism in the first half of the 20th century. And like the soldier in 1917, Dr. King kept his eyes on the prize, withstanding all sorts of violence and disdain and dehumanization as he worked relentlessly to save and free his brothers and sisters. And part of what makes our brother Martin a saint is that he understood that his brothers and sisters, the ones he wanted to save, were both black and white. He understood that there was no saving only half of the population. His mission was that big. In his 1968 speech, "I Have a Dream," he said, "I have a dream that my four little children will one day live in a nation where they will not be judged by the color of their skin, but by the content of their character." The Reverend Dr. King was looking for justice and mercy for all of us. We know that Dr. King was murdered by a white racist in 1968, but his dream abides. And it's worth our energy and our attention. And because we are citizens of this nation, we can't look away from this narrative either. Every day, for better or for worse, our behavior tips us towards Dr. King's vision or away from it. Many of us believe that we are moving in the right direction, but it is slow going. And depending upon where we live, it can be very slow going. The mission isn't over yet. We have to be awed by Dr. King's ability to set himself such a lofty task, to accept the dangers of his mission, to pay the price that many people predicted he would pay. There must have been some point early in his young adulthood where he steeled himself for the goal of justice for all. It isn't surprising that he was a Christian, a man of God, a Baptist minister, someone who saw Jesus as his Savior, and perhaps also his role model. In our Holy Scriptures, there's a moment where a human Jesus prepares for his 3-day mission to Jerusalem and the dangers and the death waiting for him there. Scripture says that Jesus set his face for Jerusalem. Jesus fixed his purpose and resolutely set forth for that city. In that moment, Jesus takes on his God-given mission, understanding that he will never yield to the ugly powers of this world. On this Martin Luther King Day weekend, both our holiday and our gospel ask us to consider what mission we will engage. What do we see in the world that we can't turn away from? What do we want for this world that we are willing to devote some of our life to secure? In John's gospel, people were looking for the Messiah, the Lamb of God. They believed that the world would be saved and set in proper order by him. What is striking about our gospel story is the way in which Andrew, and a bit later Peter, suddenly see something in Jesus that they'd never seen before, but recognize right away. They have an epiphany moment, an aha moment. They experience a moment when they are suddenly struck by a realization that changes the rest of their life's story. And after seeing what they see, they can't see the world in the old way any longer. They are compelled to press on, to find Jesus, to follow him, to stay with him. We read the story because we are in the season of Epiphany, and each gospel story for the next 5 weeks will share an aha moment that is part of Jesus' story. But I think this gospel grabs our attention because each of us has had at least a vague memory of our own epiphany, the moment when we saw the truth of Jesus and could never again see the world without his life and his light and his love in the midst of it all. If you think you haven't had an epiphany of your own, I want to press you just a bit. An epiphany moment can start off with a small, everyday experience. If you're stuck, think back to a simple childhood epiphany. Think about the time you learned to read. You couldn't, and then all of a sudden you could. You could see those letters as letters. I was 5, sitting in a big plush blue velvet chair, staring at a beautiful picture of a piano in one of my mom's fashion magazines. And all of a sudden, those big letters next to the instrument made sense for the first time. P-I-A-N-O, piano. And I could never see letters as abstract art again. What had been attractive swoops and lines became legible symbols, ever afterwards talking to me, trying to teach me things. I couldn't look away ever again. Epiphanies are small moments that permanently alter the rest of your life. Looking into the eyes of the person you fall in love with is an epiphany. Looking into the face of your child for the first time is an epiphany. there they are, waiting for you. And sometimes discovering our vocation is also an epiphany. Becoming convicted as a Christian is an epiphany. What was it exactly that made you say yes to Jesus? I know that each of us has had a holy moment like this, at least one, because we are all sitting in church today. We know that there is love in the world. We know that justice matters. And we trust in our bones that love is stronger than death, or we wouldn't be here today. I wonder what it was that brought that epiphany moment of faith to you. It might have been a Christian who had daily love to offer, a grandfather or a mother or a godmother who lavished their love on you. Could have been the beauty of the scriptures themselves, or the glory of the natural world. You might have looked up at the stars one day and deduced that the creator of them had to be divine. I am certain that there is an epiphany in your past, even if you would be hard-pressed to say exactly what it was. Something, someone convinced each of us to come running after Jesus, or the promise of him. In these next 6 weeks of Epiphany, I invite us to keep our eyes open. I invite us to be ready to be drawn like a fish on a line or like a magnet to its pole. In the heart of your best dream, at the center of your most important mission, Jesus is waiting for you. Jesus is always saying, "Come and see." And when we do, we will find him, sometimes in the least likely of places. Amen.